None of us are allowed in high school.
Yeah. You're being ridiculous, Austin.
When I'm torrenting more recordings, internet, it sends a warning, and I don't think it'll download in time. By the time I've watched the show, it's half, it's time to go. Chugging one more swig to make the show sit right. It's alright, I'm watching Saved by the Drugs. Alright, cause it's Saved by the What the Hell. I watch Saved by the Bell.
Hello, and welcome to Saved by the Bell Reviewed. I am your host this week, Austin Gorton. With me, in Minnesota, is my pal
David Bitsenoffer. You're talking real slow, Austin. Is everything all right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's cool. I'm taking on an affected demeanor. I don't know.
That's his voice of impatience for waiting for half an hour for you to show up for the podcast, David.
20
yes,
minutes.
This podcast would have been done sooner, but David was out dating.
He was on a date. He was on a romantic date.
He was
date.
On 100 dates.
To be fair, it was more my computer crashing when I got home.
Uh-huh. That is a date for David.
That was his 100th date.
Those voices you hear coming from the tranquil West Coast are...
One of them is me, Carolyn Main. Hello.
The other one is me, Ryan Alexander Tanner.
And I think we're not done yet.
Uh-oh.
Special guest starring Layla. Yay!
Yes, this week we have a special guest, Ryan's niece.
Yeah.
Tell us who you are.
Your niece.
Tell us your name.
Layla.
Layla Tanner.
Yeah. That.
Yeah. How old are you, Layla?
10 years old.
Wow. Good job.
Whole decade old.
Yeah.
So, have you heard of Saved by the Bell before this?
I've heard of it, just never watched it.
You never watched it?
No.
So, will you tell us just what are your first thoughts about it?
Old looking.
It looked old? What made it look old?
Oh, cameras.
Different
acting.
How is it different?
It just is.
Did the actors look older, like both male and female? Didn't they just look older than what you're used to?
Yeah. Like, they don't look like high school students.
What do they look like?
Us?
Like your age? I don't know.
Well, see, that's what's funny is...
She's not wrong.
Well, to me, what's funny is they're actually pretty much of age of where they're supposed to be. But even when I... if you see clips of, younger teenage shows today, everyone looks so much younger than they did in the 90s. I don't even know what it is. Like we said, these cast members are pretty much of age, yet they look so much older than...
Pretty much of age, David.
Good enough.
Yeah, make your jokes. Make your jokes.
So this week, we are reviewing Season 4, Episode 3, Punky Brewster and the Ethnically Insensitive Stereotypes, which the Golden Six learn, in the course of producing a ham-fisted morning news show for teens, that Screech makes a killer spaghetti sauce that everyone at Bayside loves, leading to Zach launching a get-rich-quick scheme using stolen school property and Screech to get targeted by Bayside's newly resident gold digger.
We'll be seeing a lot more of her, too, right?
We sure will. I mean, you don't get a big star like Punky Brewster for your show and then just use her once and never again.
And she's certainly set up as the foil for, this entire season. I'm sure that's what the arc is going to be.
Right? Yeah.
Right, she's this season's big bad.
Is that really Punky Brewster?
Yeah, Salail Moonfry.
That is 100% Punky Brewster.
I didn't get that at all. I thought you were coming out of left field with that
one. No, that's straight up Punky Brewster.
Dang.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys remember the scary Punky Brewster episode where her friend's face was in the cave and he had sharp teeth?
Oh, that's a different one. I thought you were going to say
the scary
one.
No, that's the Halloween one. Doesn't everyone die in that one?
Yeah, it's freaky as heck. Legitimately frightening.
It's supposed to be a ghost story, but all the characters die in this ghost story.
Yeah, they all fight a monster in a cave and die.
Austin was traumatized by a different one.
Which one?
Yes, I was traumatized by the one where her friend gets trapped in a refrigerator and almost dies.
Oh,
I remember that one.
A genuine fear.
Yeah, no kidding. I think of that almost every time I open the refrigerator door.
Is that why you always leave your refrigerator open?
There's a little part of me, it's oh yeah, remember when her friend almost died in that fridge? So Layla, here's a tangential question for you. Have you ever heard of Punky Brewster?
No. I don't know who that is.
That's okay. You'll be fine.
Well, she's a punk, and she's a brewer, yeah. I guess.
She's a punk rock brewer.
It's an even older show than Saved by the Bell.
She doesn't care. She's texting on her phone.
The youth of America, everyone.
I know.
Well, it's just like all our other guests.
That's true. Yeah. That's
true. And most of the hosts, too. You know.
Right?
True. So the episode begins in communications class. And right off the bat, we see Zach hitting on Punky Brewster and gets turned down for a date because his car isn't expensive enough.
Yep.
Ooh. Yeah, that's all fine. It is, I don't know, refreshing. I don't know, whatever it is. They do actually explain why Zach has never met Robin before.
Yes, I noted that. I'm like, hey, at least they gave us an explanation this time.
Mm-hmm. I like when Belding comes in and he's like, you might be wondering why I'm teaching communications this term.
Yeah.
Thank you for at least addressing that.
But my question is, well, they don't really answer it though, Ryan. Did you pick up on that?
Yes.
You said because principaling is about communication, and you're like, and?
And it's actually, but, I thought principaling was about sleeping in your office all day, but it's not. It's about playing paddleball in your office
all
day.
Yeah, paddleball. It's all about paddleball.
Let's be honest, guys. There's probably some sleeping involved, too.
Yeah. No, but, and then I'm like, is this the first day of school?
Like, oh, yeah.
I'm like, why do they need this explained to them now? Like, I don't know.
Well, whatever. It must be like the start of a new semester or something.
Yeah, I guess. Yep, just one episode in or whatever.
Yeah, I know. Well, so here's my question. Belding says you might wonder why I'm teaching communication. He gives his lame answer, but why is Belding teaching this class? Like, what's the story reason? This isn't like in the fake IDs episode where they needed him to teach the class because if he didn't, he wouldn't have been in the episode.
He's not really in this episode. I guess he does kind of the...
We see him looking at the budget and he lays the hammer down. And doing all of that had nothing
Austin,
to do with
Austin,
him being...
I got the answer, actually. I'm sorry. It just took me a couple of extra seconds. Oh, they didn't want to pay another actor to be a teacher.
Oh, yeah. You're
or
right.
Or maybe the substitute was murdered.
Yeah. Yeah, you're both probably right.
A little from calming.
So does Zach still have the car he got from Mr. Carosi?
I think
he's not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he does.
Would that be expensive enough for Punky Brewster?
Punky Brewster says that classic is just another word for old.
And it was a classic car, yeah.
Yeah.
Layla, would you call the show a classic?
Yeah, I guess.
What did you think of Mr. Belding?
The old principal?
Yeah.
Classic principal.
I don't know. Average principal guy.
Yeah. Was he a lot like your principal at school?
No.
Can I ask you, does your principal at school often teach your classes?
No, never.
And is it a man or a woman?
It's a woman, and we're all like terrified of her.
Is she constantly involved in the lives of you and your closest friends? Is she?
She scares us all.
Can I ask you a question? Does she ever come into your house and lay in your bed?
No. No? That would be creepy.
That would be creepy, wouldn't it?
It would be, and it is.
Yeah. What if she pointed finger guns at you while laying in bed?
Yeah, she was like,
would that make things better?
No. That'd be even more scary.
Does the principal get people out of the net in volleyball when they get stuck?
We don't have volleyball anymore.
Does your principal...
Wait. Why don't you have volleyball anymore?
Our school's cheap. I don't know.
I guess previous high schoolers used all the supplies and now there's nothing left.
Yeah, they used up all the volleyballs.
Probably as part of some get-rich-quick scheme.
Right? Yeah.
They were schemed away.
We got another Gilligan's Island reference in this scene.
Thank God. Oh, also I wanted to point out the cameraman, the nerd cameraman who's in this episode.
Sylvester?
Yeah, Sylvester. Isn't he the guy from the Got Milk commercial with Aaron Burr and the bullet who shot Alexander Hamilton? You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
That commercial was on a billion times when I was a kid.
Stressful.
I know, it was stressful, and every single time, too. You're like, just let him say it. He knows the answer.
He just needed milk.
He just needed milk. If he had had milk, his life would have been different.
Yeah, the actor's name is Ryan Holohan.
Good name.
Yeah. He was in the two Addams Family movies. He was the cousin Lumpy Addams.
That's right.
Oh, he had to wear a big wig, and that was it, huh?
And a hump.
Oh, a hump.
That's right,
I get it.
Yeah, he was like a random technician in Apollo 13, which is probably the most high-profile movie anyone from this show was ever involved in.
Could be true.
But yeah, we will see him again. He is in...
I think you're forgetting Dodgeball, Austin.
Touche. Three more episodes after this one, we'll see him.
Wow.
But yeah, his idea is that for their communications class TV project, they should do Gilligan's Island, The Next Generation.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind it. What if it took place like a century later than Gilligan's Island and, you know, featured a bald man as Gilligan? Well, as like a Gilligan, like his representative, and then...
I don't get it.
Cut to Layla being like, what the heck are these guys talking about? Zach has an idea, though, for, like, the Today Show, but for teens.
And then he acts like there's more to the idea. And then they, like, fade to the next scene, and there's not more to the idea.
No, that's it.
Also, it didn't take a lot of brain cells to come up with that.
Oh, no.
We get a wipe to the next scene, which is...
Well, everyone loves Zach's idea because, well, you know, Zach Morris, yeah.
And we wipe to, it's time to film this Today Show for teens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, we don't even get to see any of the pre-production or the planning meetings or anything.
Really. No, we don't get any.
Slater's like, we're on in three. I did the hand sign.
Yeah, Slater's like a camera operator of some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't... Well, what... Do we know where is this airing? Like, who's watching
okay,
this?
Well,
it's on cable access, public access.
All right.
They say that, that's, right?
Yeah, they say it's they say it's on public access, and when Zach does his introduction, he mentions, like, three area cities, like, Good Morning, Malibu, something, something. Mm-hmm. So presumably other kids are supposed to be watching this, but then the first segment is Jesse interviewing Mr. Belding, and I'm like, why does anyone outside of this school give a crud about Belding?
But why would anyone even in the school?
Well, there's that too. I mean, but before that, we get our chance for Slater to try to hit on Punky Brewster, and he also strikes out. Because he offers to take her to the Max for some burgers, and that just don't fly with Miss 90210.
Yeah, but Robin needs to learn that there's nowhere else to eat in Bayside. So, like, if you're not going to eat at the Max, you're just going to starve, right?
Well, apparently you can eat at the place next door that has lobsters.
Right? Maybe she apparently can make some sort of compromise where you can ask them to deliver the other restaurant's food to you while you're seated inside the Max.
I'm going to have more questions about that in a little while.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We have no idea what this other restaurant is or why a fancy lobster restaurant
lobster
would be
shack
next to the Max.
It's called,
yeah, it has to be like a Red Lobster,
it's
right?
It's called Lobster Thermometer.
It's probably that that French restaurant that they were going to go to that one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Cafe Diane or something like that.
But you can't actually go. No, this is there are no other restaurants you can sit in. Just others you could demand that the waiters of the Max go to get food from, because you have to go to the Max though, right?
Yeah.
So really Slater's problem was he said burgers and he should have said something else.
He should have said lobsters. Do you want to go get some
lobsters?
Yeah,
he should have said, let's go to the Max and get some lobsters, and she'll be like, all right. Let's do this.
So we get our first glimpse of...
I'm groaning it at my friend's
thing. Oh, she's not even reacting to what we're saying.
I'm sorry.
Is there a lot of drums going on?
No.
Is there mad drama?
Weird.
LOL, LOL, LOL.
Nobody uses that anymore.
Really? Is LOL out of style?
Yeah, way to go, old man.
What do they use now? How do you, like, say that you're laughing at something?
What is that?
Y-A-A-S. Yeah.
That means you're laughing?
See, I'm cool.
Sometimes,
Does it stand for something?
No.
Why is that
like,
laughing?
Like, yes, queen.
Yeah.
Like
Tyler Oakley reference.
Carol's like, I'm cool.
Tilapia.
Carol's like,
and your niece
I'm cool, guys.
Texting.
I'm still hip.
Yeah. Who's cute? Who's hot? Who's not? Figured it out.
No, we don't care about that yet.
Oh, dang. You probably don't care about Saved by the Bell.
No, Saved by the Bell's okay.
You think it's okay?
Yeah.
Did you
find it funny?
Yeah.
What do you think was the funniest thing about it?
The acting.
She's right.
It is.
She's not wrong.
Who is your favorite character?
I forget his name.
Slater?
Which one? Describe him.
Screech?
Huh? Screech, yeah.
Screech was your favorite?
When he did the little, when he was sad and he walked away.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that in a little bit.
This
yeah.
actually was a pretty good Screech performance.
Yeah, this is definitely a high point for Screech. Speaking of high points, let's talk about this weather forecast.
When I saw Kelly all covered up in a parka, okay. I was like, I wonder how long until she's in spandex. And then I'm like, I wonder how long until she's soaking wet.
And, well, okay.
And the answer to both of your questions, right. Carol, is approximately 7 seconds.
I know. Well, okay, can we skip to a little bit before that? Because we got Jesse reporting against Mr. Belding, which she does the way she does everything in her life, by yelling.
Yeah.
But Mr. Belding doesn't actually say how he can afford a BMW. Doesn't that confuse anybody or makes people wonder?
Yes.
Ryan, as a fellow educator, could you afford a BMW?
I'm not even allowed in a BMW.
You can't even afford to look at one?
No, I shouldn't have said it just then.
You're getting yeah, tax.
They're yeah. on to you.
Luxury tax.
I have to pay educator tax. And then I do definitely think that Belding stole the $500 in petty cash. There's no way.
Yeah.
So Jesse goes all Geraldo on Belding.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I wanted to talk about my pet turtle, Pokey.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
I wonder if Pokey knows Bubba the turtle from another series that won't be named.
Oh, yeah.
And also, like, yeah, I think the $500 petty cash has been all spent by Zach Morris.
Wow.
Oh, maybe. Mr. Belding does not defend himself at all, is no. all I'm saying.
Well, I know. When he comes and strong-arms them for the $1,500 at the end, you think they used $1,000 worth of supplies, and he's just trying to get his $500 petty cash back?
He's just trying to cover his own butt.
Yeah.
So going back even further, before we get Jesse's segment, we see that the anchors of Wake Up LA yeah. are, of course, Zach wearing an enormous sport coat and Lisa. And at first I was like, oh, that's nice that they're giving Lisa like a prominent role as one of the co-anchors until she doesn't do anything at all in the entire segment.
She like laughs and chuckles at like the various bits that.
Yeah, I guess. Does it shock you all that all of the Golden Six are the on-air talent for this show? So after Jesse's in her interrogation of Belding, then we cut to Weather Girl Kelly, who's wearing a parka.
Yeah, well, see, this is where I'm like
soaking wet.
The writers aren't even trying anymore, right? They're just like, we need to get her in some sort of skimpy outfit and stat. And so they just come up with the first thing to come to mind. And then, yeah, as you say, just they decide to throw water on her too because, you know, that's what the people want, I guess.
And if everybody here was 18, you guys might have more.
Here's a question.
I don't have
we'll just ghost
today.
Them this time. Yeah.
Did Layla have any opinions? Yeah. Did you feel like this was a bit gratuitous, Layla?
No. Like, I've seen some music videos that are worse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, every yeah, music video true. Starts with the yeah. in the yeah. water right now.
Yeah. So.
That's true. We're old, you guys. I mean, we're classic.
The point of this episode is that we are old.
Except me.
Except you. You've got the whole life ahead of you.
Yeah,
that's what makes
thanks, Layla.
You're welcome.
So here's a serious question. Do you guys think Tiffany Amber Thiessen knew they were going to throw that water on her?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, she must have.
She looked all shocked when that? It happened.
Yeah. Well,
it's probably cold to get
yeah.
the shot.
It's
right?
still unpleasant to have water thrown on you, even if you know it's going to happen.
So then after Kelly's gratuitous weather report, we cut to a cooking segment.
I'm sorry, I had one more thing to say about it.
Okay, go.
That is some erratic weather. She's like, tomorrow it's going to be sunny, so let me take off all my clothes. And then it's going to rain, so you can throw water on me. Like, but before that, you have to wear a parka.
It's almost like they wrote the weather to fit their shtick.
Yeah.
It's like God himself is in Kelly's outfit.
Yeah, they're like, the writers were like, we need to get Kelly in a bathing suit and we need to throw water on her. Where do we, that's how the episode started, is just the writers saying those two sentences.
That was the note card on the board and they built it from there.
They started exactly. with Kelly in a bikini and they ended with tomato sauce.
Exactly.
We cut to a cooking segment, and I guess the idea is supposed to be that, like, the real morning shows will sometimes do cooking segments.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, Screech is the one doing the cooking, I guess, because they didn't have anything else for him to do.
Yeah, this is... I got some questions. Do you want to keep going, or should I just...
Okay, I'll cut to the chase, which is, oh, he makes a spaghetti sauce and it's supposedly really good.
Yeah, well, first of all, before that, Slater is like his sous chef or whatnot.
Yeah.
And he's chopping the onions, and it's just the classic TV chopping of the onions that make you weep openly as opposed to just kind of tear up through the fumes.
Yeah, like
or whatnot.
Your eyes water. It doesn't mean you sob while you're cutting them.
That happened to me one time. I was cutting onions for a barbecue, and like the tears were streaming so hard, everyone thought that I just had the breakup or something. Yeah. I was like, I'm actually fine.
Yeah, but you weren't like heaving while you're like.
Yeah, no, but my voice got watery at least.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I could see, like, yeah, tears are going to stream from your eyes. It's just a little different than, like, the open sobbing that TV loves to portray.
One time, Carol showed me a photo of her boyfriend cutting onions, and it made me cry.
And you started crying for real.
I started crying.
I think I saw a similar photo, and yeah, some tears dropped down my eye, too.
I put that one in a locket. Yeah.
We should put that on, like, the episode.
Yeah! It's on my Twitter. Internet. Go there for a good time.
So all I know is that when I'm watching a morning show, what I really want to see is a bunch of people standing around sipping spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, well, see, that's my other...
Especially if it's so good that the whole crew even walks on to set.
I thought they were joking at first that it was good, though.
Yeah, why?
Because it looked fake.
Yeah.
Because it probably was. That's acting!
Well, see, that's my... So everyone's all surprised that Screech made this good spaghetti sauce. Yeah. But then I'm like, if they didn't expect that, why'd they have him on as the chef?
Maybe the idea is supposed to be they just didn't think it was going to be as good as it was.
All right.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if you're paying attention, David, but this spaghetti sauce is so good. It's so good that a bunch of teenagers at a high school, that's all they even care about.
Yeah.
This whole cooking segment's pretty terrible because it's basically just Slater chopping an onion. He puts it in the pot. Then they add some seasoning, and then they stir it, and then Slater's like, oh, this is fantastic. Like, they're not talking about what the ingredients are or how to make it or anything like that.
You want to know what makes a great cooking segment?
What?
Saying, now we're going to add the secret spices.
Right.
So the people at home can do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you just go to your cupboard and get out your jar of secret spices, and you put it in the sauce.
You guys, I really like how Screech had a sign on him. It was like the Screech the Chef. It was like a piece of paper taped to his abdomen.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of like one step up from branding him as a piece of cattle.
If only they had.
It was a nice sign.
So after everybody mobs the set to taste this like super awesome spaghetti sauce, we cut to the Bayside hallway, where Screech is getting mobbed by girls because spaghetti sauce is just that good.
Opposite day.
It's like a fine cologne or something, right? Like, the women just can't get enough of this spaghetti sauce. That
well,
Screech
Layla, how into spaghetti sauce are you and your friends?
Not much.
Really? You guys don't talk about it?
No.
Like, if there was a guy at your school that had made some really good spaghetti sauce, would everyone be so excited?
No.
You guys would be texting each other, yes, sauce, all day.
Yas.
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 No! Stop!
Are we cool now? Because we're saying yas. Being young?
No.
All right.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm hip and wow with it and now.
I'm down with my homie.
The very act of declaring that means it's not true.
You just shook your head. Did you shake your head at everyone who was born before 2000?
No.
You did.
That includes Einstein.
I didn't shake my
head. And Crystal Pepsi. Gorbachev.
Don't you dare shake your head at Crystal Pepsi.
Okay.
It's coming back.
She has no idea what Crystal Pepsi is.
No,
it's coming back, and then she'll know.
Yeah, you're fine. You didn't miss nothing. Instead of wishing you'd never been born, you got to be glad you weren't born yet. Crystal Pepsi. All right, sorry, what?
I was just saying the sight of Screech being mobbed by girls prompts Zach to realize, hey, I could make money off of this idea.
Yeah, the whole staging of that scene seemed weird because, like, right before Zach gets into his, like, hey, that gives me an idea, we get a clip of Robin walking down the stairs. And so it seemed like Zach was looking at her and, like, getting some sort of idea that incorporated her.
Yeah.
But it, no.
Like, well, he knows he's got to get the money to get the honey. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I thought he was going with.
Yeah.
Like, I could use this sauce to get the money to get Robin, but that's not really what was going on, so I was lost. This show is so complicated sometimes, you know.
The idea of how much money Screech could make off this sauce does draw Punky Brewster to him.
Yes. The whole point of showing her was to see that she could overhear them talking about how much money the spaghetti sauce is going to make.
And then we meet her friend Chloe,
Far
as I can tell, is basically just there so that this villain has someone to talk about her evil plot with.
Yeah, totally, out loud.
Pretty much.
He's going to go out with her. Oh, he does, but you don't
even yeah, know. That she ends up being a punchline, so it's not like she's completely ancillary. Yeah. Like, there's actually like,
quotes around punchline.
Yeah, exactly.
And you kind of get the impression that they're sort of like, they're like rival gold diggers competing for who can get the...
I didn't get that impression. I got the impression that Chloe was definitely the beta and she's trying to learn from Robin.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that could be.
Well, they're like gold digger club.
Like my whole... my interpretation was Robin's the new girl and Chloe gravitated towards her. And so Robin kind of brought her in and was like, this is how we do things in Beverly Hills. But Chloe's like a Bayside native. Am I going too deep into this? Or
you're going deeper than any writer involved in the show did.
I guess they're sort of Valley Girls.
Yeah.
California, which part of the Valley of it?
It's they pretty much are, well, Valley is the other school.
Oh, the Clown College. I like
Yeah, that's their competing school at Bayside is Valley. I like Chloe's shifty eyes.
Yeah.
She had really good expressions. Wait, Layla, what's your impression? What do you think of Zach Morris?
Which one's that?
He's the main guy. He's the blonde guy. What's your read on him?
Old.
He's looked old.
Wow. You know, he was the cutest boy on TV in 1991.
What was the ugly boys look like? Screech.
Screech.
Oh, yeah. Screech was the ugly boys.
The cool guy is in topsy turvy now.
What about Slater?
I like it. I wish I grew up in the world that Layla grew up.
Which one is that?
Slater's the guy with the curly hair. What do you think of him?
And the big muscles.
He looked weird.
What do you
like
mean?
His body fractures, or I don't know.
What does that mean?
In his mullet.
Did you like it?
No, that's a no.
Do you think I should grow my hair into a curly?
No.
Mullet? No. Would you still come visit me if I had a curly mullet like that?
Yeah.
You would? Oh, that's so nice. Thanks, Layla.
Because it's Portland, and she knows that you
can. Yeah. Well, she knows I'll let her stay up as late as she wants. Fire can.
Uncle Mullet's so cool.
Uncle Curly Mullet.
No, I won't call you that, though.
Aww.
All
right.
So then Robin tells Chloe that she just found a man with great EP, earning power.
Yeah.
And that's a joke?
Sure.
maybe?
I'm like, if EP was something that was commonly used for something else, but then she kind of reinterpreted it, it would have been funny, but it doesn't, so it's not funny. That's my only
eating pizza is, that's what Ryan says. I'm gonna go EP.
Hey ladies, I got great EP.
Eating pizza.
Well, it's a strong enough line then for them to end the scene.
Yeah.
And then we come back in the classroom, which has now been turned into a assembly line spaghetti sauce factory.
So this is supposed to be the class. I have a question. questions.
Oh, I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, okay. I know.
First question is, this is supposed to be the classroom, right? Like, we're not supposed to think it's somewhere else?
It looks like a supply closet room. Yeah.
So my... Well, it's the conveyor belt class.
Yeah. Conveyor belt class. So my other question...
It's the ripping off Lucy class.
Okay. That comes a little later, Carolyn.
So here's my question for Layla. Does your school have a conveyor belt in it?
No.
You don't have conveyor class?
You guys...
Wait, like, behind the cafeteria?
Like a place you'd have access to. Layla,
oh,
like
no,
a classroom.
They'd like suspend you if you try to go back there.
But she's not in high school, you guys.
Yeah, okay.
They only have conveyor belts in high school.
Middle school.
Yeah, that's true. So my
Ryan,
question,
does the school you teach at have a conveyor belt?
That's a college.
None of us are allowed in high school.
Yeah. You're being ridiculous, Austin. So no, here's my real question.
Okay.
Which I think now's the time for it. What happened to the morning show?
They did their show.
One morning.
Yeah.
In an hour.
Then they talked to Mr. Belding and said, we found something more we want to do. than the show. We want to make spaghetti sauce. And he said, have at it, kids.
So did they quit that class?
Just don't steal stuff from school.
Did that class become spaghetti sauce class?
Yes.
What happened?
Ryan, did you get an A in spaghetti class?
I cheated on all the tests. I mean, it's just like, why did they never mention the show again?
Because it was all about the principal that nobody gave a crumb about, like he said.
Fair enough.
I'm learning the new swears so I can swear good around.
Maybe we're just supposed to assume that they're still doing that, but it's no longer important, so we just don't see it.
I just really don't appreciate the way they just dropped that whole story.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate it.
I bet Herbert's hosting with Muffin Sangria, and they're doing an expose on what happened to the Max.
I would totally watch that.
That would be amazing.
All the dropped characters. Jeff is there. Stacy Carosi.
One person surrounds them all. Zach Morris.
Chong Chong.
They're doing readings of all the letters.
And then we get like that black and white shot of like the Golden Six where they zoom in on Zach's head.
And Zach has like disheveled hair or whatnot. I mean...
So the important plot point to take out of this scene is that they're basically using school supplies to run their spaghetti sauce business.
That. There's something else we need to talk about. But yeah, so they use school supplies. And at first I was going to ding them for basically stealing from the school. But that does become a relevant plot point. But I'm like, these are the heroes of this show. And they're just straight up thieves right now, right?
Wait,
I feel like the student body president should have a bigger problem.
Yeah, no, and Jesse does bring it up. She's like, you don't see anything wrong with this, do you? And I'm like, you're not stopping them, Jesse.
Wait, Layla, I have a question for you. Do you know where they keep thousands and thousands of beakers in your school?
No, we probably don't have one beaker at our school.
Do you also know where they keep crates upon crates of fresh tomatoes?
Yeah. So wait, are the tomato sauce supplies also being stolen from the school?
Probably.
My understanding is that everything here came from
like
the school.
Their whole entire business model is based off of stealing from the Bayside
High
School.
Even the secret spices?
Well, Layla, they have a place where you can go print labels, right? Like 1,000 labels about any side project or mixtape.
You know, you guys...
No.
I gotta say about this storyline that I really don't appreciate the downplaying of the difficulties of creating a nice product label.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You need someone to do that
You need a great mind.
Even the least of the Golden Six can do it.
I think there's a lot of stuff about starting your own business that is downplayed in this episode.
To put it lightly.
Well, I read online an article about starting your own business, and the first step was lots of stealing.
Yeah, just steal everything you need.
What's next to you that's not nailed down? Take it.
So wait, I didn't even catch that even the sauce and stuff is supposed to be coming from Bayside. They're just like, oh yeah, there's all those tomatoes.
Later on when we see Belding going through the budget report, and he's like, where are all these supplies going? One of the things he mentions are tomatoes.
Oh, I just assumed it was all they stole like $1,500 worth of beakers.
No, I think everything involved in this, because then like later in the episode, I wanted to ding them from like how much money could they be making selling sauce? But then I realized they have literally zero overhead.
Even
every dime they make is profit.
Also, all of Bayside is crazy for this sauce.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe he bought the conveyor belt too, and now it's some of the dollars.
Speaking of which, well, all right. Let's see. Before we go. Screech comes in and he brags about the date he has, which was, it almost made him human, but he kept screwing it up. That's what I wrote.
And he said that he had lover's
lane. Yeah, that's when he screwed it up. Like, when he came in and kind of, like, chided Zach and Slater, that was almost like,
gross?
I was on his side, but then he was like, because I got lover's lips. And then I'm like...
So guys, isn't that the same girl that turned you two down for dates?
Just face it, I have something you two don't have. Lover's lips. Okay.
How did that make you feel, Carolyn?
Bad. It made the pit of my stomach do like a somersault and made me like vomit in my mouth a little, and then I swallowed it.
Oh.
And it tasted like the Doritos I was eating.
Oh. Now I feel the way you felt when Screech said lover's lips.
High five.
So, yeah, they basically set up an assembly line for the bottling of the sauce. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you that it turned into a warmed-over I Love Lucy routine?
After seeing the conveyor belt? Like going into the episode, did I think there was going to be warmed over I Love Lucy? Or...
No, like once you're in the scene and you're like, oh, okay, they're going to bottle it. This is an assembly line. There's a conveyor belt.
There was no way it wasn't going to be that, right? Knew who was going to be the culprit to start off the shenanigans.
Screech is no Lucille O'Ball.
I think they're comparable in their comedic timing and acumen.
Ooh, I'm not getting into that.
Yeah, Dustin Diamond, Lucille Ball, they're kind of the same thing, right?
Wow.
Lucille Ball just
too far, in her too
grave.
Far.
I'm pretty sure Lucille Ball just climbed out of her grave and is coming to kill me.
That'll be.
Yeah, her ghost is going to be haunting your dreams tonight, and my ghost will show up and take a couple of cheap punches.
Your ghost? Like, do you have a, like, is this your own spirit, or do you have a personal goat? Like, Casper is just your ghost friend.
So, when you're alive, you still have the ghost. You just, it's in your body.
Yeah, so
when you're dreaming, the ghost is free to party.
Yeah, all right, I get it.
Let me teach you some basics.
I understand. No, I was just trying to make sure, I was trying to decide whether it was truly your ghost, or just, like, a pet ghost you also kept, you know?
I mean, I have friend ghosts and access to all, but...
And they're all going to enter and start beating up on Austin and I, right?
Yeah, no, it's you, David. You're the one.
No, Austin. What Austin time. Rolled with the joke too. Don't just single me out. But
no, go after David. Out. Get him.
But my question is, what's the point of the conveyor belt to begin with? Like,
yeah, they don't need a conveyor belt to just pass something.
They're literally standing like shoulder to shoulder.
You just lift your arm out and give it to the next person. Right?
So, well, yeah, needless to say, Screech is at the end of the line, and he immediately Fs it up, so they fall behind, and it starts spitting out bottles on the floor, and they break, and it's quote-unquote hilarious.
Yeah. Also, Kelly's whole job is just to hold a funnel. That's also, her and Dad's combined jobs are one person's job.
I think that's a metaphor.
No, it is funny that they just wanted the entire Golden Six in this scene. But the entire scene requires bottling tomato sauce that's already cooked. So you got like four people that are necessary in the entire thing, right?
At most.
Like literally one person can bottle some tomato sauce, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you catch the one beaker towards the end where it exploded on the conveyor belt before it fell off?
No.
No.
Well, yeah. That just suggests a level of prop. Set up that I didn't think they had in them and say by the bell.
Yeah, it's not like they put them all with chargers, right? They just were supposed to shatter when they hit the ground. Mm.
They had a pyrotechnics guy come in and rig that up. I like how Screech is like, this is dumb. I'll just turn it off. And you're like, yeah, that's just like the, you might be wondering why I'm teaching you this term line. You're like, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, you don't need an assembly line. But then, of course, he just screws that up too, you know?
Yeah.
Right, it's just an excuse for him to make it even worse.
You know what's even worse?
Italian stereotypes.
Yeah, I know.
That's my favorite one!
wait, Layla, set it up for us.
They're just a family.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Of all different races.
True.
And there's like a mom who sucks at cooking.
Uh-huh.
The tomato sauce. So some random guy just comes up to them and offers them some tomato
just
sauce.
Into their house.
You, right?
No, I would call the cops. They're like trying to feed you some random tomato sauce, so you don't know what's in it. Take it anyways and eat it.
Your fear of Screech is valid. You're on the right track.
Well, you like Screech though, right?
Yeah, his walk.
You liked his walk?
His sad walk. That's the only reason.
We're gonna get to that.
If in my middle school and high school, sad walking was what made people like you, I'd be like the king of like adolescence.
Sad walking class.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you sad walking?
We don't have enough time, Ryan.
All right, well, that's good because I don't actually.
So, I mean, Layla did a pretty good job of summing up that scene for me, so that's pretty much what it
is. Well, it's a bunch of Italian stereotypes, though, and hitting people on the head.
Yeah.
They're like, hey,
and saying,
I'm
like, what's the matter with you?
I just pointed out how terrible of an actual commercial this would be since 90% of it has nothing to do with the product they're selling.
Yeah.
And it's like 4.5 minutes long.
And I thought Jesse. Padding was a bit preposterous. She was a little bosomy.
I thought she looked pretty good.
I wrote buxomy Jessie in my notes.
I do. I have a somewhat. Oh, I guess. Well, okay. I got two things now. The first thing was when Zach slapped Slater upside the head.
Uh-huh.
Was that acting on Slater's part, or was the purpose that Zach was really hurting Slater? Because he kept, like, getting this look on his face, like, that was too much.
It was a lot like when they threw water at
Kelly. Yeah. Well, I know, like, I don't think the actual actors, like, Mark Paul Gosselaar and Mario Lopez were, like, Mark Paul Gosselaar was hurting Mario Lopez. I just wonder if I was supposed to take away from the scene that Zach was taking this opportunity to wallop Slater a little bit. But the other part I was going to say is I guess we should note that they decided to use the term, looks like we were saved by the bell.
Yeah!
Right, this is the title track, you guys. The whole series makes sense now.
Yeah, I never understood. Hey, you know, actually...
Wait, do they use that in every episode?
No.
No, in fact, that's a nice segue. This is the only time in the entire series that that line is spoken on screen.
They should have.
Yeah.
I like Layla's suggestion to use it every episode. They should have just, like...
That'd be fantastic.
At some point.
I keep meaning to mention this on a season review, and then I always forget, but the origins of that term, because there's a popular myth that it's about, there's like a bunch of different diseases it gets pinned on that like paralyze people, and they would tie a bell to people, so you could like, they'd put like these dead body piles together, and then if you could hear the bell ringing, people would get taken out, and that was saved by the bell. But that's actually not true. It's just it's a boxing term.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess, yeah, that makes more sense. I guess that's what I thought originally. It was, yeah, you're getting your butt kicked in boxing, and then before you are knocked out, the match or the round is over, so they ring the bell, and you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Whew, I was saved by the bell.
Exactly. But then you still have to go out for the next round, so that's no good.
Also, IMDb was careful to note for us that in this commercial, the character that Slater is playing is named Mario, which is also the name of the actor who plays Slater.
Well, slow down.
That's the kind of hard-hitting analysis IMDb is good for.
Layla, did you know who Mario Lopez was before we watching this?
Is he the guy with the mullet?
Yeah.
Well, isn't he in Full House?
No.
No.
That's who I thought he was at first.
Well, let's see.
I'm only thinking of Uncle Jesse, who also is a swarthy, mulleted hunk.
Yeah, I thought that was him at first.
No, he's on TV now.
Yeah, like he was in like America's Best Dance Crew. Maybe you never watched that. Or what else was
Extra?
Yeah,
what is
Extra.
His show?
He has his own show.
Sometimes
on a bunch of crappy shows.
He's on like a real version of their fake show.
So basically, you didn't recognize any of the actors that were on the show.
Wait, is Howie Wood that bald guy?
Howie Wood.
That's what you just said.
But Howie Mandel is. Bald.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what I'm talking about. Yeah. No, Howie Mandel's got nothing to do with this show.
He was in.
But he was Gizmo.
Unfortunately.
He was
true.
Bobby.
He was Gizmo.
That too.
Apparently, the ethnic stereotype commercial was a huge
hit.
Yeah,
I guess that's another question I have is where was this commercial being broadcast to? Was this
public
was
access?
Public access?
This.
And there was that many people watching public access that they're just.
All the cool kids watch public access, apparently. Just like all the cool kids can't get enough sauce.
did they make the commercial in their media class?
I'm
Maybe
pretty
they
sure they did.
Conveyor belt spaghetti class.
Because did you note that Chloe, Punky Brewster's friend, was one of the like stagehands when they were filming the commercial?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I don't think public access lets you play commercials. They've got to have a code against that.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of the whole point of it.
Yeah,
it
you just pay for your time, but... I don't think you could, like, get your commercials on any other person's show on public access, right?
No,
unless
I don't
think
you
so.
Talk to them directly, right? You know.
I think that NBC used to play this commercial.
Yeah.
Like, if a show ran short, they just put on the Screeches Sauce commercial.
People would be confused.
We got 4 minutes
like,
to
I
kill.
Need Screeches Sauce. They're like, it doesn't actually exist.
And again, I think Screech is kind of understated in this one. He gives a very restrained performance. He's the least racist of all the Golden Six in this scene.
Although he does introduce us to their slogan, which is, the salsa you can have, but the secret, she's a mine.
The salsa you can have, but the secret, she's a mine.
That's what David says on his 100 dates.
True.
No comment.
So however they're seeing this commercial, it has the intended effect because the next scene we're at the Max and people are still just going bonkers for this spaghetti sauce.
So a restaurant will totally let you sell sauce of a different kind of food inside the restaurant. That's normal.
And like, it was one thing when they were selling Screech Berets, but they're literally selling a food product now.
And
Well, and it's weird, too, because it's like, because they're like, oh, you can buy it at the Max. And I was like, well, they do have a wide range of food at the Max. So I guess they have a deal with them. They're like, no, we're just going to set up a table in the Max.
Although you don't know if they, like some of the foods have incorporated it. Like it's a whole marriage here where you can buy it standalone, but also buy foods with it. But I like how no one has any qualms about how this food has been prepared and where it comes from or any sanitary conditions or anything.
Yeah, they weren't wearing gloves.
We actually never saw how it was cooked.
Yeah, where's the FDA and all this?
Exactly.
That's what I want to know. Also, why don't they just sell it in the hallway where they sell everything else? Just makes more sense.
Well, because we needed to have a scene where Screech could come in with Punky on his arm and sit down at a table so that Punky could demand lobster from the restaurant next door.
I also love, before we get into the restaurant next door, I just love the fact that Kelly is both a cheerleader for Screech's spaghetti sauce and waitressing at the same time.
I love how a tomato sauce has its own cheerleaders.
And how they're wearing Italian flag cheerleader skirts.
Oh, they are. I wish that more stuff had cheerleaders.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's like you know, like the Bud.
Well, you don't need.
There's like beer girls and such. Yeah.
I don't know if is there were cheerleaders like while I was eating a burger, I'd be really into it.
Or like, go, Ryan, chew that burger. You could do it.
Cheerleaders.
Go, Brisk.
Yeah. Cut it.
Yeah, they got to be careful when they cheer. You know.
I saw an accident on the side of the road. Have some cheerleaders. Jaws of Life!
Layla, would you eat at the Mac? Do you go buy
at the restaurant?
Yeah. Would you buy spaghetti sauce there and get a Coke?
If you went to like a diner and then there were just some kids selling spaghetti sauce, would you think about buying some?
No. It could be contaminated.
You guys have cheerleading it class, don't you? You still do that? I thought you used to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, you got sick of it or what?
Yeah.
Alright.
Too girly.
Yeah.
Tedious.
But what if there was a really good sauce? Yeah, what if there's a really good spaghetti sauce?
Unless I got free spaghetti sauce, then
you'd be a cheerleader for it.
Sure.
I would too, actually.
We'll cheer for sauce.
I will admit that this episode makes me hungry for spaghetti and marinara sauce.
Right? I totally want to go have some spaghetti now.
I walked into Spaghetti Town.
Yeah, I convinced Layla to watch this with me, and then she made me make her pasta with tomato sauce.
Mission accomplished, Saved by the Bell.
Whatever your reason for that mission, it worked.
It worked. So this is what we find out that they're charging $3 a bottle for the sauce.
Oh, I miss.
Which is, that's fine. But how much of this are they selling for Screech to have all the money that he's blowing on Punky Brewster?
I don't know. And well, keep in mind they have no overhead.
That's true. World? It's all profit.
And apparently they're trusting Screech with the funds too, which you know. Always a good idea.
They, as they rightly point out, they kind of have themselves to blame for some of this.
This is the episode where they point things out. So weird.
Punky wants lobster, and they apparently have that next door.
At this mysterious.
And for some reason, you can just tell Kelly to go next door and order food for you. Like,
here's
$40.
Turn it into lobster. Chop chop.
This is my favorite part. So after Kelly has this scene with Screech and Punky Brewster, she goes over to Zach and she's like, Zach, I think she's only interested in him for his money. You need to talk to him. And Zach's like, okay. And then Kelly says, well, I'm out of here. I have to go get her lobster now. She actually goes to get the lobster.
No, what she says is, I'll see you guys later. I have to go get Screechy Pooh's lobster.
Well, I'll see you guys later. I have to get Screechy Pooh's lobster.
Which is just a great line.
Yeah, so they apparently have this restaurant next door, and but it kind of makes sense because there's so much crap on the Max menu that maybe it really is just going to other restaurants and then bring it back, right? Like, that's how you get steak and eggs, right?
I would have liked it if she just ordered a lobster and Kelly just brought it to
her. Right? Why would Max serve that? What else do they serve?
They have steak and green beans.
Steak and green beans.
And Indian food.
Tuna salad?
Was
that
with
it?
Your principal? No.
Steak and omelets.
Rap about life.
Yeah.
Okay.
So next scene, we are in the Bayside hallway. And this is where we get Mr. Belding wondering who's using up all of the school supplies. And I feel like there should be some kind of, like, overhead or checkout process or something.
Yeah, no one really. He just doesn't. no one but apparently Mr. Belding is questioning where these supplies go. Like, wouldn't, like, the beakers be from the science teachers, you know? Like, being like, we're missing all these beakers. What happened to them?
Yeah, where's the guy that that helped bury Becky the Duck wondering where his beakers are?
And apparently all they do is just notice they're gone and order more, and then Mr. Belding has to wonder why they're ordering so many, you know?
They should really have a lock. For the
yeah, that's yeah. Not going to keep the Golden Six out, you know that.
That's true.
Well, also, who else was it going to be?
True, Herbert true.
Buying cake.
It was Herbert Hodes. You're thinking of Alan Fairbanks.
Oh, he's gone forever, isn't he?
Long gone.
So Belding exits the stage, and Zach proceeds to try to talk to Screech about how Punky Brewster's just using him for his money, but they get interrupted by a lawyer issuing a cease and desist order.
So then a businessman just walks into the hallway.
Yeah. Should we say who he's from first?
Yes, he's from the Betsy Crocker Corporation, and you guys, they're just not even trying anymore.
There's a lot to unpack here, and I don't know where to start.
Yeah, and I guess I should say the gist is he's from the Betsy Crocker Corporation, and it turns out that Screech's grandma's secret spaghetti sauce recipe is just the recipe that's in the Betsy Crocker cookbook.
But okay.
Well, it makes sense that the businessman would know to call it Betsy Crocker so he didn't get sued.
But I feel like, okay, we'll get to that. Okay, go, David.
How does he know that the sauce is his sauce? Or Betsy Crocker sauce?
He says that they tested it.
Okay, so they tested it and got the exact ingredients. My second question would be, if you publish a recipe in a cookbook, is it illegal to then use that recipe and then start selling that product?
I'm honestly not sure.
According to Saved by the Bell, the answer is yes.
And another thing is, if you're a corporation who's got a secret recipe, one thing you shouldn't do is publish that recipe in a cookbook. But thirdly, how difficult would it be for them just to change something in that recipe?
Well, that's the question. If it is illegal to use something you cook with someone else's recipe, at what point does it not become their recipe anymore? Like, if it calls for a teaspoon of oregano and you do a teaspoon and a half, is it your recipe now?
Well, you guys, we need a corporate copyright pasta.
Yeah. And I feel like it would be different if it was like a representative from Prego, or I guess we'd call them like Prugo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that's like a commercial sauce.
And maybe if the idea was Screech was just buying the sauce and just like emptying out the jar, you know?
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
That would be pretty fantastic. That's why we never see them making it.
Yeah. He's just been emptying this jar and warming it up, and then people are like, this is fantastic.
I think you guys are overlooking, though, that this sauce is perfectly balanced. It's so good, you can't change any element of it. It's perfectly balanced, this sauce.
No.
I like the banner in the background that just says, debate team!
Yeah.
With an exclamation point. They had my attention.
That's a good one.
That's what I was looking at the whole scene.
Memories.
Oh, and also Robin's outfit. I like how she has gold shoulder chains, like two to the shoulders and like one from like the boob pocket to her belt line. Would you wear that?
No.
Yeah, we should ask Layla. What do you think of the fashion choices in this show?
They're old-timey.
Old-timey?
Well, you know that like 90s fashion is actually coming school, back, yeah. You know, all that baggy clothes and such.
Yeah, I saw those Janko jeans things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are supposedly coming back.
Yeah. Are you a fan of that?
They look kind of cool.
Yeah, all right.
Like comfy.
Yeah,
roomy.
I like comfy clothes.
To me, old-timey is like a guy with a monocle and a mustache, like a and he's riding a donkey.
Yeah, that's old-timey. I meant old-school.
Or he's
old
riding a bike with one big tire.
Yeah, exactly. The front big tire. And he's
no, Carol, you're wrong. Mm. We are old-timey.
That's what I'm learning. We're classic old-timey.
I just think of old-timey as boxing with Queensberry rules and just that.
And against a kangaroo. Yeah. That's what the kids do now. They're bringing it back, right?
And in the old times, you couldn't actually speak. Your mouth would move, and then like a few seconds later, a box would come up with the words that you were saying.
Just text would appear.
And there'd be like a jaunty piano tune playing underneath it.
It's a much more festive time, I'll put it that way.
Yeah,
back
definitely.
In the early 90s.
I would also like to point out that this quote-unquote plot twist involving the sauce being a recipe from a cookbook was also used in an episode of Friends.
Mm. Oh, is that really? The cookie recipe thing?
Yeah, when Monica's trying to recreate Phoebe's grandma's cookie recipe, and then it turns out that the recipe is just the one off the bag of Nestle Toll House cookies.
That's a good recipe, though. I highly suggest
it. Or as Phoebe says, it's from her grandma's friend, Nestle Toll House.
But they're not selling it, though, so that...
Right, no. But that brings up my point of, I don't think they needed to change the name Betty Crocker.
Yeah. Except you never think spaghetti sauce when
oh,
it comes to
Betty. Oh, that's what it was.
Oh,
I was hoping
boy.
For,
so,
like, Debbie Crocker or something like that, you know? Like,
yeah. No, like I said, they just really aren't even trying.
Shenane Crocker.
I also like when Lisa says that Screech won't die. Does that mean he's a vampire or Highlander?
He's like a parasite.
Yeah, I know. He's more of a cockroach type, you know? He just like, nuclear war isn't going to take him out.
Yeah, so that's the next scene. We've got the Golden Five hanging out on the stairs talking about how much they hate Screech because now they can't make money off of his sauce anymore.
Except the sauce came from Screech because, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's where Lisa talks about how you can't kill Screech. Mm-hmm. And then Screech shows up, and Zach tries to tell him about how Punky Brewster wants him for his money. But shockingly, Screech doesn't believe him and just thinks that Zach is jealous.
Yeah.
Robin. More like Robin your wallets, am I right?
I don't get it.
More like Punkin your money. Brewster.
You Punkin your money, Brewster's millions.
Yeah, well done.
That's good.
Couldn't it just be Punkin' your Brewster's millions?
There you
go. Yeah, probably.
Sorry.
Good workshop, guys.
Yeah. Did you get any of that?
No. I don't
know. This is old sitcom.
We may as well just be talking about, like, the settlement of the West.
Back in Austin's day, they were poor dirt farmers.
I like the episode of Saved by the Bell where they discovered the Americas.
Yeah.
So Screech goes to his locker and goes to Punky Brewster's locker and she's like, buy me more things. So, and then he's like, sure, I'll go do that. And he comically runs off.
Screech, like,
and then says,
anything for these gifts? Like, does he get to hold hands with her at all or anything?
He gets to buy her lunch.
Oh, yeah. So that's just reward enough?
Yeah.
All right.
Dude, she's Punky Brewster.
So then he realizes that he left his uncle.
Might be nice after, like, you know, buying a necklace. That's all I'm saying.
Don't be crass. We all know about your dates you go on, David.
You're all over Facebook, open mouth kissing.
Oh, man.
Holding hands all over the internet. Disgusting.
We've got the universal sign for gag over here.
But Screech can't buy anything without his Uncle Fester wallet, so he very overdramatically and deliberately walks back to his locker just in time to hear Punky talking to Chloe about how she's just in it for his money.
So where'd the line Uncle Fester wallet come from? Like, is that supposed to be... Where did they come up with these
references? I think it's supposed to be another, like, Screech is weird and likes weird things.
I guess. I don't know.
He likes outdated pop culture, like all weirdos do. What a big loser. And then Punky Brewster's like, I do not like Screech at all.
She like,
I just want his money.
Like, Chloe, did I ever mention how I am totally not interested in Screech? I'm just using him for his money? Because that's exactly what I'm doing. Hopefully he's not overhearing me right now, because then he'd know exactly what I'm thinking.
Chloe, let me tell you the premise of this episode.
But you guys, he was listening
right now. What are the odds?
And that means that we get a sad walk away.
Yeah, tell us about it, Layla. This is Layla's favorite part.
So he, like, walked off and sunk down twice.
Yeah. Yeah, so
hilarious.
So what he's saying is what made the scene is he kind of hunches over and he starts walking away, but then he stops and then he even sulks down more and then walks away.
I'm not going to lie, it is that second sulk was kind of funny.
Yeah.
They should just make a 10-hour loop of that. I don't watch it.
You just need like a Vine or a GIF of it.
Yeah,
I feel like this is what Dustin Diamond was shooting for in the kind of physical comedy he did in Hawaiian Style, where he just kept breaking his back. And in Hawaiian Style, it's terrible. But you know, in this, it is charming.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I have no memory of Hawaiian Style.
No,
I know that was 2 weeks ago, but I don't remember it.
That's how I usually am.
Yeah.
This is also the scene where I noticed that Punky Brewster's not a very good actor, or at least is totally playing down to the level of these actors.
She peaked at six.
Well, this is like she's the really, last thing
I mean, she's doing
did.
The same kind of like way overacting, reaching to the back seats of the house that Dustin Diamond usually does.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was just trying to match his energy or if she just really isn't a very good actor.
Well, did she retire after this episode? Like, is this the last
No,
thing
she did
is?
Some other stuff, but nothing of any note or of consequence, really.
What happened to her?
Except for...
She was in Falling Skies, wasn't she? No, I'm thinking of what? Moon Bloodgood?
You're thinking of Moon Bloodgood.
Sorry, I'm just way off.
That's not a word.
Moon Bloodgood?
Uh-huh. That's Austin's vampire fan.
That's like what a caveman says when you murder someone at the full moon.
You would know.
Why would I know?
Your ancestors.
Because you're old, Ryan. You lived in caves when you grew up.
That's like what I did. That's like what I said when I was a kid.
Her one notable credit outside of Punky Brewster, she was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch for a whole bunch of episodes.
Awesome.
Okay. She was in one episode of Friends. She played the girl that hit Joey and it hurt a lot. And just a lot of little bits and pieces of things here. She's kind of sad because she was pretty big as Punky Brewster.
Yeah, but child actors, I don't know what what happens.
Yeah. Next scene, we are back in the classroom, and Belding has finally figured out all of the sauce that's been taking his school by storm was responsible for all of the misappropriated school supplies, and he wants his $1,500, now.
Yeah, like one of the main conflicts of this episode is the fact that your heroes are thieves and have stolen stuff. And now people want reparations for it.
Not only did they steal the supplies, but they stole the recipe.
Exactly. Like, everything's just about them.
They're not like Robin Hood. They're not giving it back to charity. They're not ever winning you. They're just taking the money and buying gold chains.
No, we can say what we want about Bayside. That doesn't seem like a corrupt institution that should be stolen from either. You know, it's just... There.
And then the solution is to steal some more.
Yep.
This is the most high-stakes grift off I've ever seen on this show. Has it ever gotten up to a $1,500 cash value before?
No, I think that's true. That's the most money
over spaghetti
ever
sauce. How did this happen?
People love spaghetti sauce.
Let's set this up. Belding wants his $1,500 back, and the Golden Six are like, well, okay, I guess that's fair. Screech, we've been giving you all of the profits for some asinine reason. Give us the money so we could pay back Belding. And Screech is like, sorry, can't. I spent it all on Punky Brewster. But it's okay, because Zach has a scheme.
Yeah, what are the odds that Zach's plan will involve a disguise?
100% of the odds.
You're a little low, Austin. You're just a little low.
Yeah, we have a whole lot of wigs we haven't used.
True story, I was watching this episode last night with my wife. I mean, she wasn't really watching it, but she was in the room.
Good for her.
I was watching this episode while my wife was tolerating me and my life choices.
Pretty much. Same. Pretty much. So when Zach comes in his disguise, she's like, what, do they have some magic closet where they could pull out whatever disguise they want?
It is something you watch as a kid that you just don't realize how difficult any sort of like costume really is, you know?
I wish he was wearing the Zach wig that other people
I know.
I've never gotten to see it. So you guys, I think during off hours, they put the wigs on the conveyor belt and they do wig races.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun.
That's how you can earn $1,500 in one night if you're lucky. Put it all on Zach wig.
They should have rigged the wig race.
Right? They rigged a lot of
I would have gone with the true. Tina Turner wig myself.
Okay, it's on, David.
All right, we got a bet here, Carolyn. Now we just have to set this up.
So basically, Zach's scheme is this. They're at the Max, and Screech talks about how he's gotten an offer to sell the recipe, and he's going to sell it because it's so much work making all of this money, and he just wants to spend time with Punky Brewster.
Right.
And then in comes Zach, in a Van Dyke beard and a black coat and a top hat, pretending to be a German guy that wants to buy the recipe.
I also love how everyone always buys Zach's disguises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for I think one time he didn't.
Well, Slater figured out when he was Bambi.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. That,
but he kind of liked it.
Yeah, that was hot.
So at the same time that German Zach is trying to buy the recipe, the rest of the Golden Five come running in, talking about how, oh my God, we're making so much money. You can't sell this recipe. It's worth millions of dollars. And then Punky Brewster's like, screw that. I'll buy it from you for all of the money that you need and give you this jewelry back.
And like many thriving businesses, it was originally sold for $1,800.
My note was, hopefully Punky Brewster can figure out how to tweak the recipe so it's not illegal anymore.
Yes.
I like how she had a check. That's what you totally use, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
You have a 10-year-old's checkbook and just buy soda with that.
No.
I like how she just pulled out a checkbook.
Yeah, I felt like that was in character for being, like, rich and from Beverly Hills, though, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. Nowadays, they use the square reader.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the thing.
That's what they do now.
Just go on PayPal or I don't know, whatever.
Other set up things. A
GoFundMe site.
But yeah, my note was, one, how does she not recognize that the German guy is Zach? And two, doesn't she find it odd that Screech's four other friends, but not Zach, is there talking about how awesome this recipe is?
Well, they should have had it. They should have had like Herbert show up dressed as Zach, just so
that would have been amazing.
Then we could see that Zach wig.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that Zach wig someday.
And of course, the flip side to the additional benefit here is the Golden Six get back the money so that they can pay back Belding. But it also exposes to Screech that Punky Brewster is indeed just a gold digger who was in for the money.
Yeah, but he already knew that. It just kind of solidified.
No, this scheme is so brilliant that it resolves everything all at once. And then Punky Brewster is so humiliated when she realizes what she spent her money on that she leaves Bayside.
Never comes back.
Yep.
Chloe's like, where'd she go? I must follow her. And so Chloe actually goes in this like long epic journey in search of Robin.
Yeah, that's the spinoff.
Mm-hmm. And she actually helps out people along the way too. Like, you know, she'll just stop by towns searching for Robin. But there turns out some people are in a jam, so she'll help them out of that jam too.
And maybe one of those people, after she helps them out of the jam, I mean, they might have a little bit of information about Robin that they can you know, give her to help her on request.
Then she has to hitchhike some more and be like, boom, 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 boom.
So the quote-unquote punchline to
so
the
Layla,
episode...
you knew exactly what I was referring to right there, right?
No.
It's okay, Layla, it's almost over. We're almost done.
Home stretch.
So yeah, the quote-unquote punchline to the episode is Screech wanting his cut of the profits because he's going on a date with Punky's friend Chloe. Uh-huh.
And frankly, the fact that they introduced Chloe and then found her to be like a punchline, I guess, is better than most things that happen in Saved by the Bell.
Good
I don't
writing.
Know what to say.
Good writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Layla, have you ever seen a show this good before?
No, probably.
Yeah, I knew it. You mean because it's so good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. You're
a
trooper.
Here's a legitimate question for you, Layla. What is your favorite TV show right now?
Probably this one now.
Before this.
Good answer.
I don't really watch TV though.
Oh yeah, what do you do in your spare time?
YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, the kids are on the YouTube. What's your favorite YouTube channel? Anything?
Just watch. Yeah, you just watch like kittens.
You like that monkey who smells his he puts his finger in his butt and then he smells it and then he falls out of the tree?
No.
What about Piano Cam?
I've never seen that movie.
That's gross, Carolyn.
We're Facebook friends now.
I mean, video. It'd be a great movie.
It is a great movie. Yeah. It stars Pierce Brosnan.
He sticks his finger up his butt, then smells it, and then passes it.
All right, we're watching that immediately after this recording.
It's really good.
We're watching it. Don't worry.
YouTube, go.
Okay, we're on it.
So what's your favorite band, Layla? Like your musical group?
I don't really have a favorite band.
You're not into like One Direction or anything?
No!
Oh my God, David! That's so last year.
No, they've never been in.
Oh, wow. Shots fired.
Billy Joel?
Yeah, what do you think of Billy Joel?
What does he do?
Carolyn has some time she wants to spend with you.
And some. He's the world's greatest living musician.
He has a song, All for Layla.
No!
Yeah, I've heard that song. Did you not like it? Try it when you're 14.
Okay. Ryan.
Yeah.
What did you learn from this ethnically charged tale of spaghetti sauce gone awry?
Well, I learned a lot about wig racing.
Yeah.
And I learned that I'm old and I'm probably going to die soon.
Yeah.
David, what did you learn?
I learned a lot of stuff today. I learned that you can't use LOL anymore. That's interesting, right? You have to use Yaz, right? And I learned that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm adding that to my repertoire.
I had that one.
And I'm also going to, I also learned that One Direction were never in, so whoever likes them, they're just silly, right? And I learned that if you find a recipe in a book, there's no way to modify it, so you can sell that recipe. And even if you're selling minimal amounts of sauce locally, giant corporations are going to sniff you out within days.
I know. Like, why could they even be bothered to shut down the secret sauce?
For this $1,500 that was made.
They spent more money than they lost by paying that guy to go shut it down.
I was just going to say, let's be clear here. His airfare cost more than Screech and the Golden Six made off of this. Do the kids still say totes?
No.
Do you say jelly?
It's like a Valley Girl term.
Wow.
Okay. Do you say jelly?
Yeah, do you say jelly instead of jealous?
No.
Like, are you totally jelly?
Cray-cray?
No.
No?
Sometimes, though. Oh,
man. Do you say, guess what? Chicken butt?
Yeah.
That's
Yeah. Yeah. My wife will be happy to hear that. That's like her favorite phrase.
Yeah.
Hey, Layla, what were you eating under there? What were you eating under there?
Underwear.
Yeah!
Oh, that was
great. Yeah, that was always fun.
Maybe for your sake.
Maybe for the greater good.
Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up.
We almost got through this without mentioning.
So, Carolyn, what did you learn this week?
I learned that schools are drastically underfunded now. I can't even do basic education rights like conveyor belt class.
What's the world coming to?
I'm going to... $500 from the petty cash fund went spaghetti sauce. Extra tomats.
I'm going to start a right-wing podcast about what the country is coming to now that we can't have conveyor belt class anymore, right?
I know.
And I learned it's okay to be racist against Italians.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Totally.
Nobody minds.
Yeah.
It's true. If it had been like, taco sauce or something, what would that add?
The Italians and Mexicans are close enough to white, like Asians, it's okay.
Yeah, according to Slater, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's another thing we should note. I feel like this episode kind of underscored the idea that Slater's Italian still.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, Layla, what did you learn from this episode, if anything at all?
That old people and old children aren't that bad.
Oh, yeah. We're not that bad.
Well, that's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
You'll take it. That's our next
I'm going to have an extra skip in my step tomorrow. That's all.
You're not doing that sad walk anymore now, David.
When I drive my horse and buggy to work tomorrow, it's going to be with a smile on my face.
We're going to send you a thank you letter via Pony Express.
I'm going to worm all day tomorrow to get from place to place.
So I learned that the one thing that the kids of Bayside apparently can't get enough of is friggin' spaghetti sauce.
Spaghetti.
It is pretty good.
I learned that you guys are actually pretty good at reeling it in for an hour. I appreciate
it. Thanks, guys. Ryan, we're not done yet. You shouldn't have jinxed it.
Okay, sorry, I don't know what idea what you're talking about right now.
This is the first time we don't have to put the NSFW red sticker on this podcast.
I swore once. Before we're recording, I get a gold star.
So, Ryan, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at ohyesverynice.com, ohyesverynice.com. You can see my drawings that have nothing to do with this show. Ohyesverynice is also my Twitter handle, where you can read about my occasional opinions. And that's about it.
And, Carolyn, where might we find you on the interwebs?
You may find me at carolynmain.com, CarolynMain, like the street. You can see a lot of illustrations. I also am at Gmail if you'd like to email me. I have a Facebook fan page, Carolyn Main, and I'm also at Carolyn Main at Twitter, and also carolynmain.tumblr.
And Herr Bitzenhofer, where might we find you?
What's a good... Jawohl! You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Bits. That's Dr. spelled out. And you can find some of my writings on therealgentlemanofleisure.com if I get around to writing and stop going on super dates where I'm like holding hands and closed mouth kissing and doing all sorts of stuff.
Buying flowers.
Yeah.
Did she put the
flowers up there too?
That's right. Make all this look bad. I'm not even a boy, but I'm like, I gotta buy him some flowers now.
You know, Carol's boyfriend's always like, David would do that for me.
I've been known to ruin things for other people because I'm just so awesome at dating, game. Right?
You mean like their lives?
That's just what this podcast is.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter being shamed by David's dating prowess at Austin Gorton. And you can read my writing at therealgentlemanofleisure.com, which appears more frequently because I lack David's dating prowess, as well as soundonsite.org. And for the show, you can follow us on Twitter at sbtb_reviewed. You can email us at sbtbreviewed@gmail.com, and we will most likely read your email on the show at some point. Our website is sbtbreviewed.com, and you can download us via iTunes and Stitcher or at that website. And if you'd care to rate and review us, we would greatly appreciate that.
We'll send you a spaghetti sauce via Pony Express.
I heard that David has lover's lips. And that's why he's good at dating.
Gross. Layla, do you have anything you want to promote? Is there anywhere we can find your writing on the internet?
No.
All right.
Maybe in 10 years.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, but by then the internet will be gone and it'll be some new thing.
Yeah.
You'll have, like, messages taped to crows.
But we'll still be on the internet because we won't know.
Exactly. Layla she'll be
will
like...
some new thing that's cooler.
She'll we'll be like, you can find me on the HoloNet at Third Dimension. And then we'll be all like, we're on the internet still.
We use Gmail.
I'm on AOL Instant Messenger.
Oh, no.
I'm just turning this crank, keeping the power going to my internet.
Keep that motor running.
I'm on Put some ICQ. More coal on the fire. Gotta keep the internet going.
For Saved by the Bell Reviewed, I'm Austin Gorton, and I'm feeling very old, and I am now off to get Screechy Poo's lobster.
Why do I watch the show and where did the 90s go? Bass hit highs, run my Zach, let's chill out at the max. Giving building panic attacks and eating all my snacks as I lay awake at night and my waste of my life.
Dancing D, one of my all-time favorites. And now let's make that random call with today's $10,000 question. It's a tough one. Who shot Alexander Hamilton in that famous duel? All right, let's go to the phones and see who's out there.
Hello? Hello, for $10,000. Who shot...
Alan Burke.
Excuse me?
Alan Burke.
I'm afraid your time is almost up. I'm sorry. Maybe next time.